Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station on LATalkRadio.com, the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. First and foremost, I want to thank each and every single one of you for sharing your Sunday with us and allowing yourself to raise your vibrations. We have an extremely special show lined up for you guys today on LATalkRadio.com. As you know, many of my regular listeners know that I bring musical artists on my show to share their amazing music with the world, and today is absolutely no exception. I put it out there that I wanted to interview a well-known musician who created, produced, and engineered much of the music from the 80s and 90s. Because some of my favorite music is from that time, personally, I have an individual connection. It has touched me and helped me through certain times of my life to where I felt like bringing somebody that has been in the meat and potatoes of it could really inspire the rest of the world and really, really inspire anybody that's sharing their time with us here on the Vibration Station. So in my studio is the one and only Neil Rotstein. How you doing, brother? It is such a blessing and such a pleasure to have you on the air.
Thank you so much. It's my honor, actually. I'm just beyond happy to be here today.
No, Neil, it really, I got to tell you, for those of you that aren't familiar with Neil, we will get into momentarily everything, if we can even have the time to explain everything that you've done. I think our whole show would be based off of just explaining what Neil's done, explaining it.
I could go on one story an hour, for
it's,
sure.
It's really true, man. It's really true. And, you know, Neil, it is an honor to have you here. You are such an accomplished musician, writer, and engineer. I am absolutely going to play some of your music throughout the show. First and foremost, before we get into listening to the music, the first song, before we get into knowing exactly what inspired you, before we dig into Neil a little bit, I'd like to ask you, who are some of the bands that you've been a musician with? A writer with, you've been able to been in the studio or turn a couple knobs with?
Well, back in, I think, 1985 was the first band that I was really in, and this is back in Canada, in Toronto, and the band was called The Alternative, and it was basically, you know, a university band, and but we had a really big following. I mean, the first show we ever played, I think, was in front of, you know, 1,500, 2,000 people.
Wow.
At a huge party.
That's amazing.
And just because the guys were already well established in sort of the high school,
right,
university scene. And then they had heard I was, you know, a great guitar player, and they brought me on. And
that's so cool.
That was my first experience into the show. In fact, I remember that show in front of 2,000 people. It came time for me to play my first solo, and my fingers just froze. like they wouldn't work. My brain just froze, but I somehow faked my way through it.
Wow.
And then after that, you know, my younger brother Rob was, me and him always, we started playing guitar together. I was 13 when I started, and he was 10. And wow, we just had the same love of music and the same drive to want to be, you know, great guitar players. And so the next band that I was in was called The Kind.
Okay.
And this was back in the mid to late 80s. And the core of that band was basically playing cover songs. And then we initially started to write some original stuff, but it was mostly covers. But we had a huge following in Toronto. Every show
awesome.
We played was 400 people and up.
Wow.
And I mean, we really had a great scene going with that band.
That was cool.
And you know, all of these experiences got me better as a player, because you can practice all you want, but
absolutely,
really at the end of the day, the only way you're going to really get better is playing live. And the more you play live, the better you get and the more at ease you get with it.
I could only imagine.
Well, you know, I was shy pretty much. But somehow when I got in front of people on the stage, it just kind of melted away. I just, you know, just got into playing, and that was all I really focused on. And,
right,
and you know, the more I did it, the more I was able to relax and just focus on the music.
That is so cool, man. That's beautiful. It's almost like it's like, you know, you channel this higher part of you. It's like you're when you're in that mode, when you're in the music, you know. Some of the speakers that I listen to and stuff, they talk about, you know, when the musician, this is a metaphor that's used, it's like when the musician is in their moment, when you're looking at the musician on stage and they have their eyes closed and they're just like, you know, or they're like having like a, you know, a fight like with the bassist or whatever, you know, they're like, the bass like, he's like,
that's real. I mean, it looks like it's put on, but I mean, in the moment, it's, you know.
It is, dude, it totally is real, man. Oh, no way is that put on. That's organic, you know, that's from the, that's core stuff, man. That's from the heart. And no, I just think that you know, when you're expressing that, when you're talking about that, I just see you in this, like, I see you channeling this, like, just like you're like God guitar player, man. Just like
well, back then, I mean, now, today, it's hard probably for a lot of people to even understand, but, you know, the guitar player back then was a lot more important and more of the focus of a live band. Now it's not at all in popular music, which makes me very sad. But
totally.
But the guitar god, I mean, that's what I aspire. I loved, you know, Jimmy Page was my idol. David Gilmour.
Oh, that's awesome.
Guys like that were just, I dreamed of doing that, and they inspired me to play and to get on stage. And I guess of all people, I probably most aspired to be like Jimmy Page.
That's so
who
cool.
I actually met.
Wow, dude, I love Jimmy Page. I love Jimmy
Page. I mean,
Page.
I met him and was introduced to him through a mutual friend, and I had so many things to say to him, but I just started to mumble, and I think foam came out of my mouth, and just I was unable to say anything legible.
That is so cool, man. That is so cool. Wow. Neil, I think it's time to give the listeners a little taste of exactly who you are and what you do.
Well, this is the next band, Brother Vibe, is the name of this band. This was also with my younger brother, Rob, and this is when we started to do all original material.
So cool.
And this was a great band. Well, my favorite, I think, of everything I did.
That's so cool. So this is off the CD, Brother Vibe, as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, self-titled.
That's the name, right. So it's Brother Vibe off Brother Vibe right now. This is really cool, man. So make sure to, after, of course, you listen to it right here on LA Talk Radio, Dave's Good Vibration Station, we're going to make sure to check the song out afterwards. There's a couple different ways to get a hold of Neil and to hear exactly what he's doing. But first and foremost, I would like to, I'd like you all to turn up the volume. Crank your headphones and make sure to check out Leave It All Behind by Neil Rodstein and Brother Vibe. Check this out, guys. Excuse me. Whoa. Yeah.
It's a mashup.
It's a mashup. Yeah. just give us one sec here. That's great. Excuse that. Well, we have a little... we're the DJs here, where we do Neil Rodstein and Dave's Good Vibration intro music. I'm just messing around. All right, guys.
I love it.
Take two. You guys can't miss this. Leave It All Behind, Neil Rodstein and Brother Vibe. Check it out. It's so cool.
So he said he'd make
Wow. Oh my goodness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this show is about power. The Vibration Station, this is what we inspire. We hope to inspire power inside of you through whatever source that might be. And Neil Rothstein, my brother, no pun intended, no pun intended for Brother Vibe. I am, first and foremost, honored to have you in the studio. Number two, oh my goodness, man.
Yeah, that was a bit of an opus, I guess. We kind of
so powerful
tagged on a jam there at the end, which, you know, I mean, we felt it. So that album was all about doing what we felt we wanted to do. Nothing more. Nobody told us what we wanted to do because it was our own. We funded that album. We got backers to fund it, but we controlled everything that went on it. And that was the only time I think we ever had that kind of, you know, ability to do that. Because once you get signed by a label, you lose control of that. And
wow. I definitely want to start talking about that a little bit more and get into that, because I find that really interesting. I just want to let the listeners know, yes, you are on LA Talk Radio, Dave's Good Vibration Station, Neil Rothstein.
Thank you.
And his group, Brother Vibe. That was the song, Leave It All Behind. You guys definitely got to put that in your Google search engine.
It's on YouTube. I put the whole album on there. And that was my brother Rob on the lead vocals.
That's so cool. And yeah. Obviously you on guitar,
yes.
Right? Yeah, yeah,
shredding. And him. We shared guitar duties on that, but I played the part at the end, and we did trade it off on the licks during the middle of the song.
The shredder at the end?
Shredding at the end.
I love it, man. No, inspiring, bro. Truly inspiring.
Thank you so much.
So, okay, Neil, I gotta ask, one, what's the inspiration, okay? That's a beautiful song. I could say what inspired that song, but I want to take it one step further. What inspired you to be where you are today? I mean, you are extremely successful musician. You had to pick up and move your life because your band got signed. And
it was hard. You know, it's always hard because, you know, even where I grew up, it was never really encouraged to go into this depth of being, you know, a guitar player because, you know, it's not the easiest way to make a living.
And, absolutely.
You know, a lot of my peers went into professions and things like that. And but it's just since I was 13 years old, I remember my very first guitar lesson. This long-haired guy.
Really?
Yes, because what he told me was, he said, look, he goes, it doesn't matter what you look like or how much money you have. He goes, if you can play guitar, you will always get women. That was my first guitar lesson. That was the very first thing he ever said. And I just, you know, I'm like, this guy knows what he's talking about. And I just loved it, honestly. I mean,
I love it, man.
The first song I played was like, I felt like I'd accomplished something, and it just
without a doubt.
I never let go. To this day, I still love it and practice and want to expand my abilities as much as I ever did.
Absolutely. And most people that are at the very top of their game or the game, whatever, you know, whether it be the music game or the TV, you know, the highest actors, whatever, you know, if you listen to the people that are at the top, they're always talking about getting better. That's all they talk about is, but there's always room to expand. Yes, but there's always room to grow. If you hear some of I love Jim Carrey. I think Jim Carrey's a funny guy.
He says
some of his concepts too are really powerful. Something that he said, which has inspired me, he talks about, you know, wanting to understanding the concept of abundance and prosperity and receiving abundance in an effortless way that's philanthropic and helpful, whatever. Long story short, he talks about, creating things in his life and setting intentions for certain things and then believing in himself to get there, right? So yeah. I just, in a lot of his interviews, what he always says is, you know, he goes, I'm always growing. He goes, I'm always like learning something new. I'm always expanding every single role that I take. He's also an author, believe it or not. He writes children's books.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah.
He started getting into this. This is what really inspired me. What reminded me of what you just said, Neil. So he goes, you know, writing children's books has taught me something that I never thought that I would learn. You know, he goes, I've played a lot of roles, you know, been in many different movies and all that, but writing an actual children's book, he wanted to write this children's book to inspire kids, right? It's called Roland Rolls. It's about this wave, and it's basically through the metaphor of the book, it teaches kids that through the belief in themselves and you know, gratitude, you can achieve anything that you set your mind to. But never think that there's an end point. Never think that there's a ceiling, right?
I've done it all. I'm finished.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I've noticed, at least in my own observation, this is my own thinking on this, is, you know, there are basically two kinds of people that go into music or acting, and you know, there are those who just love it, and that is the means to an end. You love it,
yes.
And you could sit in your house and do it, or you can sit in front of 10,000 people, which
yes.
Of course you want. I'm not saying you don't. But then there are other people who want the fame, and
yes,
that is the means to an end as well. And if you just want the fame and you don't love the craft, it's only, I mean, I just... You can never sort of be satisfied because there's nowhere to go once you've got famous.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I feel like a lot of artists get caught in this paradoxical idea that since they've hit the top or since they've, you know, done this with this person, that, you know, there's no more to do. You know,
yeah.
That there's almost like... everyone knows me, or you know, almost, you know, I've done enough that I want to do for myself. Let's just, you know, kick it back and you know, say that I'm the best and call it quits. Exactly,
yeah.
Beautifully said. They get complacent with it. And something, Neil, that I really honor in you is I can see and I can feel your passion, your drive to like become you. You are the music, Neil. You are the vibrations and the creations and the energy and everything that creates the heart, the soul, the beingness of the music. And
thank you.
You can see it, bro.
Right.
You can
right.
feel it.
Yeah. I do, and I love music. Music is life to me.
Yes.
I it's everything. I live, breathe, sleep. It just I can't express it enough.
Absolutely.
I mean, maybe just born this way. I don't know, but it's just
so beautiful.
It talks to me just like you say.
Yes.
I feel all of it.
You can hear it, man. You can hear it. So, Neil, I know that you and your groups, Brother Vibe and Euphoriophonic, toured all over the world. Can you talk about some of those venues, some of the artists you met and toured with?
Well,
I mean, this is amazing
well,
stuff.
Brother Vibe, you know, really got us experience and
right.
known within Canada. And then with Euphoriophonic, basically, we started in Toronto with the Canadian label, Linus Entertainment. And then we got signed here in the U.S. to Trauma Records.
Trauma Records.
Which was part of Interscope.
That's awesome. I've heard of Trauma Records.
Well, it was No Doubt's label. And,
yeah, definitely.
And Bush and some other bands.
Wow.
And so we toured all over Canada, and we played all the biggest places in Canada. But then we came here to the U.S., and we played, I mean, you name it, the Fillmore in San Francisco was clearly a highlight.
Wow.
To me. I mean, it was like a dream. And we got our poster. There's a upstairs room at the Fillmore where, you know, there's posters of Hendrix and all these people, and they put our names up there too.
Absolutely, man.
And it's just that
of course.
That was the be all and end all.
Wow.
You know, we did all the House of Blues in, you know, New Orleans, LA, you know, just every the Cotton Club in Atlanta, and then
wow.
we went to Europe, and we started, I think, in Norway which was just, we played at a theater that was hundreds of years old, where I think Chopin had played, or Mozart had performed.
Way.
And we did we played the Paradiso in Amsterdam, which is where Led Zeppelin did a very famous concert. And I remember the guys from the band Wilco were there. And it was just such an unbelievable experience to see the world from, and to play in front of audiences from other parts of the world and have them react the same way that, you know, when you put that energy out, they acted energy. The same. It was like I was, you know, back in my own hometown.
Yes, yes. And that's, Neil, you said something that is awe-inspiring right there. You know, this show, The Vibration Station, I've dedicated, you know, my life to doing all that I can to inspire people through the experiences and successes of others, right? And Neil, you just said something that is so powerful and awe-inspiring to myself and all those who are listening. To be able to get on stage and get the same reaction from the crowd, no matter where you go, no matter who you're in front of, no matter what you're doing, you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
To feel, to get that type of momentum, it's the most I could imagine it being, and what that means, the reflection of that.
Oh, talk about vibrations, dude, and energy.
Reassuring.
Feeling that, because they're, you know, to me, the most important thing that I could say if I wanted to leave a legacy or something from my playing is that I somehow touched somebody, one person, somebody with my guitar playing or my songwriting. And when you see strangers, like literal strangers that have no, you know, they don't owe you anything. They don't have to give you anything.
Right.
And have that, you know, feeling is just what I lived for, to be honest.
Totally, man. I mean, that is pure, Neil. That's pure inspiration, man. Through you, you are the vehicle for everyone else in that crowd to feel a greater power than they felt, right? And that's the beauty in music, and that's the even greater beauty in a musician that loves and has a passion and understands to the T his craft, right? Neil Rothstein.
You're right. It's a learning process. Thank you so much.
Neil, I want to get into your next song. I want to get into another one of your songs.
Right.
It was really cool. So this, Outside Coming? Yeah,
this is Euphorphonics.
Love it. Love it, man. Love it.
This was recorded here in Los Angeles. Actually, no, this was recorded at Metalworks in Toronto and mixed here.
Very cool.
In Los Angeles at Cello Studios, I think. And,
wow.
And I'll talk about it after, but it was produced by Dave Schiffman, who was Rick Rubin's right-hand man. And he worked on the Chili Peppers and Soundgarden and Jane's Addiction and all those bands. And he produced us, and he did a great job.
That's amazing.
He did two
man.
Albums for us.
That's so cool. And I'm sure that there's many more to come with a lot of really, really great artists. Man,
hopefully.
Well, you know what, Neil? These producers, they are, you know, it's an honor for them to be in the studio with you as well.
Well, when you meet the right producer and you're on the same page, I mean, it's nothing like it.
Such
because I didn't really know what that meant.
Yes.
You know, you always read about it and hear about it, but what does that really mean? And when you get in with a great producer like that, I mean, you know, he allows you to do what you do, but also, you know, guides it, and that's what happened here.
That's so powerful.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to hear the song and share it with the listeners. You guys, Neil Rothstein with Euphorophonic, Outside Coming In. Make sure to check it out right after you hear it here.
It's this and it's that, it falls in the cracks. I don't know if I can take it. It's all the time passing my mind. Then come back and try to break it. It's all on the outside. We'll be right back.
outside coming in. Everything, man. Everything that comes out of this guy's brain is genius. Neil Rotstein. I absolutely love it. That was Neil Rotstein with his band Euphoraphonic. Really, really powerful music, man.
Thank you.
So, you were just telling me that... Neil Osborne,
yes,
was paid to.
He was paid by the label.
By the label to
come and write songs with us, which happens a lot today. You know, like you see on a lot of hit songs, there's like four or five different writers on them, and that's the way the industry is now,
right?
You know, and he got paid a good amount of money to come and sit in and write songs. We wrote three songs, and this one was the one that we chose to make the album and. You know, his input was incredible, and his melodies were, I mean, he's known for writing incredible melodies with his band 5440, which was a huge band in Canada back in the 90s.
Right, right.
So it was an honor. I mean, he was famous, and that was, it was absolutely so cool to sit and write with this guy. It was kind of surreal, you know, in a way.
I could imagine, you know. It's like, when you as a passionate, inspiring musician get the opportunity to sit with someone that's been there, done it. I mean, you, Neil, have been there and done it and been around and you're established and bam. But to sit with someone that, you know, that's had that, and then, you know, maybe
he had a touch, you know, a taste of international fame with that song "I Go Blind," covered
by
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Right, right.
So they were big, and they were, like I said, probably 10 years older than we were. So, you know, it was a real, and he was so cool, and he was not judgmental, and he was into it, and it was a blast.
That's so cool, man. So, Neil, I know that you also performed at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch for the Jackson family and
that
some of their
true.
Friends.
That's
friends.
True. Well, what? It was Joe Jackson,
okay,
his
okay.
father.
Okay,
it was
right.
his birthday party.
It was Joe's birthday party.
It was Joe's birthday party.
Okay.
And we were the house band at the party.
That's awesome, man. That's amazing. What an honor, bro.
I rode the choo-choo train. I sat in the wishing tree. I mean, that was everyone was there. It was like hundreds of people, and the whole Jackson family was there.
Wow.
Michael and Latoya and Janet, everybody. Tito was there. In fact, I think Tito performed after we did.
No way. That's so cool.
But we got up to the gate. Our label arranged for us to play this party. I mean,
okay.
We had moved to Los Angeles, and we had recorded our second album, and it was doing pretty well. And, you know, we got this gig. And from what I've been told, Neverland Ranch, was the creme de la creme of gigs, because
wow.
it was that hard to get in. Even as a visitor, apparently,
wow.
and to, you know, sit out, be on stage and look out at the Neverland Ranch, at the Ferris wheel going around, and performing was just, it was beyond.
It's
it
beyond was, surreal, man.
There's
That's
like so... fire twirlers all over the place. I think there was Paris Hilton over to the left.
That's
and
so
it was
cool,
just,
man.
It was so awesome.
That's so cool.
I think Michael, he came out at one point, but he barely showed himself. But everyone else was there.
That's awesome, man. That
it was so awesome.
Cool.
It was so much fun and you know, a real story to tell, because it's just such a unique, crazy thing that most people, you know,
don't
get to do. It's not like it furthers your career in a way, but it was just so much fun.
Well, you know what? Through word of mouth, it could definitely
right.
further your career
right.
in a big way, man. I mean, dude, dang. I was like, oh, dude, he's performed at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch. Like, I gotta prepare myself.
I don't believe it either. No. It was that crazy. We're driving up there, I'm like, this is not right. Like, the labels, it's not going to happen. We're going to get turned away.
No way.
But then they opened the gates, and we had to sign, a waiver saying we couldn't take pictures, so I didn't get one picture in there,
funny.
So I can't even prove that I was actually there.
Yes. Well, you know what, the passion in your voice is proof enough.
That's true.
Yes. So, Neil, I saw your bit where you and your brother appeared on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
I mean, that was just another crazy... I mean, we were at the Oakwood Apartments in Hollywood. And I'm sitting there watching TV. My brother's in the other room. And there's a knock on the door, and I look through the keyhole, and all I see is this huge chin. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I open the door, and it's Jay Leno and like 40 people. And they came in, and we did this whole bit where my brother pretended he was Beyonce. So picture, he had a goatee.
And
some hot pants.
And, it's hysterical. It's hysterical.
And I was Sean Paul, and it was again just so much fun and just such an experience. And Jay was the nicest guy in the world, and we sat and talked, and we talked about Canada and how he had gone to Canada, back in the 70s, and it was just so much fun.
That's amazing. I mean, these are Neil, these are experiences that people, listeners, people dream of having, man.
Dream of it.
Well, brother, you're creating it, bro. You're making it, man. You're an inspiration to us all.
It's like you say, all I ever kept doing, and there were lots of low points, is I just kept playing and learning guitar. That is, I kept saying to myself, if I keep playing, And when experiences are going to come your way, and you have to be ready for when they do, and that's what I did.
That's beautiful.
And when they did, I took them.
That's so cool. And might I ask, I feel like you had to know that you were really good. You had to know that you had to believe in yourself. You had to have this. Neil Rothstein couldn't be Neil Rothstein without that little, piece of Neil Rothstein that was that little choo-choo train that could. That was like, all right, man, keep going, keep going, keep playing guitar, keep learning these riffs, keep going to the shows, keep, auditioning with the bands or doing whatever you did, to make it where you are today. Like, how...
That is a really, really interesting point you make, because I have... like most people, low confidence in a lot of ways, and people would tell me,
"Don't we all, brother?
They would tell me like, "Oh, you're a great player," but I never believed it. And what really honestly got me through it and kept going is my actual love for playing and for listening and guitar. And I mean, I love guitars. I think I slept with one on my pillow at one point.
Wow.
And even. I mean, we ended up doing our third album with Euphoriaphonic with the producer Andy Johns.
Yes.
Who did, XL and Main Street for the Rolling Stones and did like four Zeppelin albums.
Wow.
He produced Van Halen. I mean, this is a real deal. Clapton, everybody.
Wow.
And that I'm not making this up. On two different occasions in the recording studio, he came to tears, full out crying tears at two of the things, guitar solos that I recorded.
Oh my goodness.
And even then, to be 100% honest with you, I didn't feel like I was that good. I'm just being honest with you. And this guy is crying. He has tears in his eyes, and I'm still thinking, I don't know why he's crying. I don't understand what I just did.
Man, people can feel you, bro. I gotta tell you, Neil, hearing your music for the first time before I got the opportunity to meet you, knowing that I was going to have the opportunity to have you in the studio, I got chills. And I'm being completely honest with you.
You're very kind.
No, I'm being honest. I cannot tell a lie, but seriously, man, like I got chills. My hairs stood up all over my body from my head to my toes. And, how do you say this? I've said this six times over the show. You're really inspiring. But it's like, there's this energy that is portrayed, like I was talking earlier, when the musician, when the artist is in their beingness, when they're in their... This is who I am, and this is all I know right now. I'm not thinking about my bills. I'm not thinking about my car payment. I'm not thinking about my mortgage. I'm not thinking about, you know, it's
it
like.
It all melts away.
It all melts away.
It does.
It, what you do, Neil, is you bring that to other people. Everybody else's, you know, you have a mortgage, you have a car, everyone else has that stuff too. When people get in tune, when they resonate with what you're doing, they become a part of that, brother. They feel that on a core level, as I said earlier. And I feel like that is the part, Neil, that's why, you know, that's why he cried, man. And that's why I got super chills. And that's why on all three songs. And that's why I am, like, honored to have you in the studio. Because you represent being in a lot. You are a perfect manifestation, a perfect representation of all the people that want to be, right, that want to be in your shoes, right, that want to say that, you know, they've worked with, it's the producers of the Rolling Stones, right, and Led Zeppelin and Eric Clapton.
I mean, that was the stories that he had alone were, I mean, he's sadly passed away, but I mean, he had. I sat there for hours and hours just listening to him tell the stories of back in the 60s and 70s when he lived the real deal with these guys. And that was, I mean, it was such a wealth of knowledge to hear that.
So
cool. Oh, my God. And I loved him as a person.
Absolutely.
He was a dear friend. I loved him. And I'm very sad that he's gone now.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm so sorry to hear that, man. But there's. Really, I mean, you know, it plays through you, brother, and what I wanted to say was you, Neil, are an inspiration to all those artists and all those people that want a dream but have no means of seeing how they're going to get there, right?
Right.
You are living proof to say, listen, it does happen. Just,
well, you know, I have to admit that,
yes,
in the back of my mind,
yes,
I always had the dream of,
oh,
being
of
on the big stage.
Oh, absolutely. You
know,
have to.
I did.
Yes.
I wanted it.
Yes.
I didn't know if it was going to happen.
Right.
And you know, life gets in the way.
Absolutely.
But through it all, I just kept learning and expanding my playing and just... You know, I wished for it too. You know,
yes,
I really wished that I could be there so that I could touch other people the way that when I listen to music, I feel so moved. You
right,
know?
Right.
And that's what I wanted to do.
You've successfully done it, my friend, and are ever expandingly doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, down by the road, Neil Rotstein. You for a Phonic. Now, Neil, I wanted to ask you, what album was this song off of?
This is from an album called Stone in the Sand. This was produced by Andy Johns.
Okay.
Who produced and engineered Led Zeppelin, is all I got to say. I don't got to say anymore.
Nuff said. Yeah.
And this solo on this song was, he told me, you know, I played it over and over, and he's like, this is the cornerstone of this album, so it better be damn good.
Wow.
So. I really put my all into this one, so I hope people like it.
That's beautiful, man. I know that they will. And like I said, Neil, this song gave me super chills, man. Down, oh, it's so true. Down by the road, Neil Rotstein with Euphoriaphonic. Check it out, guys. On the air, live, Dave's Good Vibration Station, LA Talk Radio. Down by the road.
In my car last night, down by the road. I wanna know, was it love at first sight? Down by the road. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Each and every single song is just so powerful, touches you on such a deep level. Guys, unfortunately, I have to say we are coming to the end of the Vibration Station. But first and foremost, before thanking Neil for being such an inspiration to each and every single one of us and all listeners and musicians, artists, actors, even, you know, people that are in the financial world, just that have a dream, you know, this is Neil is proof that you can do it. One last question for Neil to close out the show. Neil, what's your advice for those musicians and band artists out there who are trying to get their music out there and who want to be and do what you have done?
Firstly, you just never let anyone tell you you can't do it.
Yes.
You know, I had many people tell me that I couldn't do it or that it wasn't right music for the time or whatever. But, you know, you just muscle through that and you just keep playing. And my biggest thing is get out and play live. That's how you get experience. That's how you touch people and have them touch you. And, of course, you know, social media, I mean, YouTube is such a great way to get your music out now.
So true. And
you know, I would also tell people to learn at least basically how to record and learn,
yes,
learn Logic or Pro Tools and learn how to make it sound good, because it's so important that it sounds good.
So true.
You know, not doesn't matter what you're playing, but it has to sound professional.
Absolutely. Wow. Neil, I want to truly thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on the Vibration Station here on LA Talk Radio, sharing your stories and pouring your passion and your heart out into the microphone for us.
It's been a pleasure and an absolute pleasure meeting you and just a delight.
As it has been for me too, brother. As we always say here on the Vibration Station, I'm your host, Davey, and I send you all of our unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Good Vibes Station. Please check out Neil Rotstein. You just gotta search him. He is amazing. I love each and every single one of you with all of my heart. And I thank you. See you next Sunday.